full today. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the Psalm 119. Tommy, there's a... Here, I'm just going to get it. You're going to help me here, Tommy and Dave. Let's see. Con permiso. Necesito una de esta. All righty. Everybody needs to have a Bible or a Bible on your phone or one of these. Green, verde is Espanol, purple is English. Okay? We're going to use this at the end of service today. So, Bible with good old-fashioned paper. Oh, yeah. Bible on your phone. And all the young people said, oh, yeah. And if you don't have one, put your hand up, and Dave and Tommy will serve you. Dave and Tommy, you're serving. Nacho, you got to get out of the way, buddy. All right. Everybody, if you don't have one of these, it's a half sheet. Lisa, got it? These. John 14. I got two right here. If anybody needs one? Jose, you have one? Yes. Teresa? Yeah? Where? I don't think, who needs one? Put your hand up. Okay. Spanish there, Gail? No, just, you got one on your phone. All righty, we're dialed. If ushers, Dave, if somebody walks in, make sure they got one of these in the appropriate language. Español, amigo. El capo. Reverse, gracias. Okay, Psalm 119. If you're there, say amen. Bible says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Let me read that again. How can a young woman keep her way pure? Anybody want to keep their way pure? Well, we got the answer right here. By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees, and I will not neglect your word. Lord, guide us into purity. Lord, some of us come in here so empty this morning. And Lord, I pray fullness would come to each of us, Lord. I pray clarity and understanding how we can draw near to you, Lord. A clarity and understanding what needs to be transformed in my life, in our lives, in this church, so that we as a group can draw near to you, that we can display your glory, that we can be transformed in our existence and be a witness for you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen, amen. I like that. Paul, I'm going to buy you lunch today. Hallelujah. Three amens. All right, because Aaron Bugs is gone. I'm going to need some extra amens today. I don't know how many of you know this young man. I'm sure Ed Knoll knows this young man. Mante Teyao, a standout linebacker at Notre Dame, drafted by the Chargers in the second round. He fell to currently playing for the New Orleans Saints. Fell to the second round because of some social issues revolving around his girlfriend. You think, oh, yeah, picked a bad woman, right? Bible says you find a wife, you find a good thing. Problem with Mante Teyao's girlfriend is that she turned out not even to be real. That she was just a figment of the internet. And all this hubbub comes out. You know, she ended up to be a man. And Mante Teyao had all kinds of problems. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, that's a little messed up. We are in a series called Living in the Fullness of Christ. And if you're going to find fullness, it's going to come as you come closer to God. Amen? If you're going to get closer to God, you've got to make sure you got the real thing. Thank you very much. Bible is given to us so that we can draw near to God. And some of you could be thinking, what are you doing there, Georgia? Just set that up. Just hit the down arrow on that thing, buddy. There you go. What's it at? How many people love 74? You know, some of you might be thinking, I'm going to move into that section. Well, that's okay. We'll do that next week. But some of you might be thinking, you know, realistically, I don't need the Bible to have a relationship with the Lord. I don't need the Bible. But the Lord and I have got our own thing going on. We have got an understanding. But that's what Manti Te'o thought. Manti Te'o thought he had all this stuff going on, and he ends up coming out empty. God wants you to have a relationship with him so that you can find fullness in your life. So my question for you this morning is, how full are you? And are you full enough? Could you use a little bit more of Jesus in your life? Well, our purpose here is that you might find your fullness in Christ. It's on the signs, it's on the bulletins, it's on everything around here. We're going to do this in three primary areas. Number one, we want you to find fullness in your relationship with God, hence our focus on the Word today. Number two, we want you to find fullness in your relationships with the people around you. And I see many of you sitting next to spouses, significant others, children, that the closer you get to God, the better you're going to be in your relationship with those around you. Amen? The last area we want you to find your fullness in is fullness in how God has magnificently created you to glorify him. That you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are spiritually and supernaturally gifted to glorify him, and as you move into that, you are going to experience your greatest fullness. Amen? Amen. Now, we have four principles that we focus on to ensure this to happen. We depend on God, we develop people, we display God's love, and we desire the presence of God. In our series, we are looking at the first one of these principles. We depend on God. Last week, we took a look at depending on God and determined that the closer we get to God, the better things get. Amen? As people who depend on God, we rely upon his word, and we are guided by the Spirit. Today, we are going to look at the Word of God. It will fill you up, and you need to get some daily. Amen? Amen. Three questions we're going to ask today. Three questions about the Bible. Do I really need the Bible? Can I rely on the Bible? And is the Bible worth my time? And as we answer those questions, we're going to find a way to fill up on the Word. Are you with me? I know I gave you a bunch of free lunch for you too, Tommy. I want to let you know if you're visiting today, there's free lunch for everybody. But it didn't used to be like that, so I still kind of give away free lunch. All right, here we go. Let's take a look. We're going to go all the way back to Deuteronomy. Do I really need the Bible? Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. How many people came in here today saying, I want to line up on a curse? Well, good. You came to the right place. Today I'm setting before you a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. And the Bible comes to us today to give us a winning option. Because realistically, lining up on the curse is easy. Literally, you don't have to do anything to line up on the curse. You are born lined up on the curse. And the word comes to us to give us the opportunity to line up on the blessings of God. Now, doesn't that sound like something you might want to be able to use? Doesn't that sound like something you might want to know? Amen? All right, I'm going to try and get you. Deuteronomy. God's people crying out, oh, God, save us out of slavery. God says, okay. He saves them out of slavery in Egypt, and the whole generation perishes in the desert. Pretty much of a fail. Can I get a witness? So Deuteronomy is the law given to their children. An opportunity. He says, look, you're going to go into this land. You do these things. You will find victory in your life. But I read this to you last week, Deuteronomy 31, 16 and 17. The Lord said to Moses, you are going to rest with your ancestors. Do you know what that means? He's going to die. And these people will soon prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them. And in that day, I will become angry with them and forsake them. God's people struggle living with God. Jesus hung on a cross to initiate a relationship with you. If you surrender your life, and I know many of you have said, Lord, I have so messed up my life. If you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you to establish that relationship. Amen? The Lord gives us the Bible. God gives us the Bible so that we can move into that relationship that has been opened up by Jesus and established by the Holy Spirit. So I'm wondering if you might feel you need this. It'll fill you up. Get some daily. Take a look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. This is Joshua, the leader who comes after Moses, because Moses has gone to be with his ancestors, and he's given Joshua directions on how to move into victory. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. That's pretty good. See, the Bible guides us into success. Anybody want to find success? Could be a book you might want to be involved in. So that you can be successful in the things of God. No, that you can be successful wherever you go. That's a good book. He says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful and do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua ready to take the land. And God is describing the path that he needs to tread, and it appears to be a narrow one. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Jesus describes the narrow path that leads us to fullness in our lives. Amen? And God is talking to Joshua a thousand years before Jesus and say, it is when you get off this path that bad things happen. He says, these directions are so important that you need to get them inside of you. That if you can get this word in your heart and in your soul, you will always have something to grab onto. Challenges are going to come. Anybody have any challenges this week? Anybody else have any challenges? Hallelujah. It's nice that Mike's got both hands up. Yeah. See, it is nice to have something that you can lean on. He says that this is the way to success. This is the way to the victory. And this is also the way that we can connect with the Lord. And so the question becomes, do you need this Bible? Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So if you're going to be real with God, you're going to need this Bible. And if you're going to be real with God, probably something's got to change. Tell you a story. But I'm saved like a year, and I'm stoked, and I'm fired up. I'm going to church on Sunday night, and they do water baptism once a month on Sunday night. I'm like, oh, yeah, how cool. Look at all those people getting baptized. And this one guy talks about that he was baptized as a baby, and he was getting rebaptized. And I perk right up. Because I got baptized as a baby. And I thought, that was good enough. And he said, well, so I got baptized before I got saved, so I needed to get baptized as a public declaration of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. And so you know what I did? I started reading my Bible. And I got to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And he's preaching. It's the day of Pentecost. He's saying, this Jesus whom you crucified has come back, and he is the Lord and he is the Messiah. And the people go, what should we do? And that's where I'm at. What should we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I said, and I started doing some more checking, and I started doing some more research. I said, man, I need to get rebaptized. And you know what? The very next month, I was up there in the tank getting baptized. Because when the Lord speaks to me through the word, it means I got to make some changes. Amen? Now, maybe you've already been baptized in water, but the Lord talks about a lot of stuff in this book. Amen? And maybe some of this stuff might be on the list of things that are keeping you from your fullness. These are actually the seven deadly sins. I couldn't find any other pictures. But word of God will fill you up. Make sure you get some daily. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Are we okay? Tommy, two lunches for you. Bring a friend. Can I really trust the Bible? Can I really trust the Bible? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 21, 20 and 21. Above all, now, above all, do you think Peter's doing that to kind of put a priority on this? I mean, above all means what? Pay attention to this. Right? Above all, this is an important thing. All right. Above all, you must, another command there, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This Bible records those prophecies. This Bible comes from God. And that's our struggle. Does that Bible really come from God? But it covers, that question covers our big question. Our big question is whether or not the Bible has authority over me. What are you thinking about that for a second? Because realistically, isn't this just a bunch of stories that have been handed down from generation to generation? no authority over me. And realistically, haven't we really outgrown the Bible? Aren't we a little beyond all that? But the big question for you this morning is, how open are you to God's direction in your life? Because, see, we looked at God's message to Moses and then to Joshua. And we read the response in Jeremiah chapter 7, several hundred years later. Chapter 7, 23 and 24. I gave them this command. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. I gave them this command. Obey me, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command you, that it may go well with you. And they did not listen. And they did not pay attention. Old Testament is a story of a people that wrestle with God and repeatedly pay the price. I hope you're not wrestling with God. Peter cuts through it all. This is the supernatural revelation of God. Another big question, how close do you really want to get to God? Some people don't want to get that close. It's just a bunch of stories. It's an ancient book. It's antiquated. Don't need that. Joshua, there's a class for you downstairs, buddy, about vision. You're going to want to be in it. There's air conditioning, too. Here's the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. For many, it comes right down to it. I just really don't want to change. I'm close enough, and I don't want to get any closer. Could be you this morning. Could be why that you're so far from the Lord. If so, there's some things got to change. Let's keep going. Whoa, we got a little cold in here all of a sudden, didn't it? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Word of God, Bible here, is key to growth, is key to your growth. And you start reading this book, if you want to get better, if you want to get better in your life, you want to be fuller in your life, there's going to be some things that you need to start doing that you're not doing. Can I get a witness on that? You go to the doctor and your doctor says you want to get better, there's going to be some things that you're going to have to start doing. Can I get a witness? One just left, I don't know. You want to get better, there's going to be some things that you need to stop doing. Those things that you need to start doing, we call that training. We call that teaching. The stuff that you stop doing, if you're going to go to the doctor, you might say, stop eating lunch over a tag. No, actually it says, stop eating some of all that high-fat food. There's some stuff that you got to stop doing, and we call that the rebuking and the correcting. Amen? And all this has a purpose. The purpose is so that the servant of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And you say, what? I got enough doing my stuff. I don't got time to be doing any of God's stuff. What's going on here? I don't have time for that. For others, that's the target of their life. How can I be more useful in the kingdom of God? The Bible makes us better. It'll fill you up. Make sure you get some daily. Amen? Ushers are going to come right now. If So I'm going to talk about these pastors in Malawi. Tommy, grab one of them offering bags, would you? We're going to talk about pastors. You might need money in about 1 minute. Come right up here, guys. Word of God will fill you up. You need to get some daily. Amen? In Malawi, in rural South Africa, less than 10% of pastors have Bibles. Less than 10% of the pastors. I am so blessed. I spend more than 20 hours a week, probably closer to 40 hours a week, in the Word every week. I get fat on the Word. I cannot imagine preparing to preach to you and to try to fill you if I am starving, if I do not have the Word of God. Amen? Amen. The goal of this group here, Malawi Bibles for Pastors, is to put 2,000 Bibles in the hands of not just people, just pastors in South Africa. In 3 years, they have done 600 Bibles. Goal is 2,000 in 5 years. They're behind schedule. I'm buying 2 Bibles today, okay? I'm inviting you to try to fill up a pastor in South Africa. Now, maybe you don't got 10 bucks. 10 bucks will buy you a Bible. Buy them an Old Testament, 5 bucks. Maybe you can, I don't know, whatever. Whatever you've got. Take your money, just pass it to the aisle right now. I know everybody's going, scampering, scampering, scampering. Do that if you would. Real quick, we're going to do that. We're going to buy some Bibles for those guys. I'm going to put it on my credit card and send it to them. They'll have the money this afternoon. Lord, I pray your blessings. I pray that you would fill us up, Lord, the overabundance, superabundance, Lord, that we could buy a Bible for a pastor in Malawi. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Pick that up. My wife only had change, but hey, you know what? She's just buying like Book of Genesis or something for a pastor. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen? All right, where are we at? Oh, yeah, all right, here we go. Man, we're almost done. Watch out. Watch out. George needs to be over there pretty quick. Somebody tell him. All righty. Is the Bible worth my time? Is the Bible worth my time? Time. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. If you're going to get better, it's going to take effort. It will take time. Now, I'm stepping this up. It's a little cranial here for the next couple of moments. All right? All right? All right. Check it out. 2 Timothy, there's some math and dates here. 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul writes in the New Testament. He writes it in 66 AD. To this point, he's written 13 books. All right? James is the first book written. Luke travels with Paul. So the Gospel of Luke and Acts is lined up in the Pauline writings, okay? John writes in the 90s. Again, we're talking about 66. Paul's done. The rest of the New Testament is written in a 2-year period. Okay? There is this movement. Paul's writing to Timothy, who's pastoring the church in Ephesus. He says, do your best. Put in your maximum effort because you have got to get a grip on the word of the Lord. Now, the word of the Lord at this time, because realistically, there's not a New Testament. Some of Paul's letters, maybe James, all that kind of stuff. But realistically, the word of the Lord is the Old Testament. And the ministry of Jesus, the message of Jesus, the gospel, the good news, and these guys would show up and they would say, here's the Old Testament. It points right at Jesus. It points right at Jesus. It points right at Jesus. And Paul is saying, Timothy, you got to get a grip on this because, man, there's some wacko stuff out there. And it's getting really wide. And the Holy Spirit moves in the apostles with this flurry of writing to put some edges, some boundaries on that narrow path. Because if you get off, bad things happen. Amen? And so he's saying, do your best. Do your best to show yourself approved, not to Pastor Bob, not to Lisa, but to God. See, you show up, say, God, I got this. When you show up to God, he's going to ask you two questions. What'd you do with my son? And what'd you do with my book? Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, I don't want you to be ashamed. And he said, show up before God and said, well, God, I didn't really spend much time in your book. You know, I show up and listen to Pastor Bob. I listen to David Jeremiah on the radio. See, there's more involved in your Christianity than showing up 15 minutes late to church and getting some lunch. There's more involved in your Christianity than showing up 15 minutes late to church and getting some lunch. All right, thank you for that. I'd do it again, but. There's more involved in your Christianity than showing up 15 minutes late to church and getting some lunch.
Amen.
There we go. Hallelujah. Yes. See, Word of God will fill you up. Make sure you get some daily. We got a class for that, young man. Air conditioning. Great teacher. I remember when you were a teenager down there now. All grown up. Good to see you, Shania. All right, last thing I got for you. God gives us an example of diligence. Good timing, George. Acts 17:11. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. See, the Bereans were checking up on Paul. We rewind about 15 years before we're talking about with Timothy back in 50 AD, 20 years after the resurrection. And Paul would end up hitting the town, and he would go to the synagogue, and he would start preaching through the Old Testament, and he would say, look, he's talking about Jesus. Look, he's talking about Jesus. Look, he's talking about Jesus. And the Bereans would take the scriptures home, and they would check up on Paul. And so he says that this is noble, and the Lord shows you how you can be noble, because it has to be more than you just listening to me. Y'all got notes, or y'all can get notes. There's notes on the back. You can go home and say, I'm going to check out these scriptures. This Deuteronomy. Don't go anywhere, George. I'm going to need you. Excuse me? You break it? George, you just got to stay there. I'm going to need you in about 10 seconds. Bereans went home and checked him out. They were noble. And the question is, do you want to be noble today? You go home, you check me out. God wants you to line up on him and find fullness. Word will fill you up. Get some daily. Now. This is for you, George. This is a copy of my daily reading log. And I got a bunch of them back there. And this shows right there on the 12th, Jeremiah 10 to 12 and John 14. Okay? All of you should either have a Bible on your phone, or the sheets that we handed out. Hold yours up there. Forget your name. Aurelio, yeah. Have one of those, right? If you need one, put your hand up, because right now we're going to read John 14. It's going to take 3.5 minutes. All righty? I'm going to get you one, Sean. Anybody else need one? No, wrong one. Yeah, I did. All you got to do is hit play, buddy. Read it. We're all reading John 14 right now. Dave, you got any more of them English ones? Put your hands up. It's going to take me more than 3.5 minutes. Espanol, Espanol. Tommy, Johnny, you don't speak Spanish. John 14. John 14. Everybody read it. Put it in your Bible or on your phone. Dave's walking around. More Spanish, English ones over here, Dave. Now, see, I told you guys, you're all supposed to have these. Read the whole thing. Just keep reading. Take 3.5 minutes. Oh, yeah. Look at that. You got them? Stop in? All right. You need one? All right. Give me another English one, bro. Just go to the next one, George. Or it should. Richard, you reading? I'm checking up on you people. That's why it's good to have paper, folks. I don't remember. Dave and George already read John 14 today. Hallelujah. Just in case. Get done, look up at me so I can see when everybody's getting done. John 14, 2. Now, I see a lot of you guys looking at me. You can think about what does God want you to know from that text. Give us about another 15, 20 seconds. Thank you. 10 seconds. 10 segundos. Hit pause on that, George. That's fine. All right. Everybody look up at me. This is today's reading, just the New Testament part. Old Testament is Jeremiah 10 through 12, and it is rich. If you go through, and I have a bunch of these reading logs if you'd like to get one. If you go through this, in a year you will read the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once. And for some of you this morning, this is the first time you've ever read John 14. For some of you this morning, could be the first time that you've ever read the Gospel of John. Do this. It will change your life. The title on the top of those, 20 Minutes to Change Your Life. Now, I guarantee you, you read this, especially you read the Jeremiah stuff, you're going to have some questions. So, when you get done, come on. Oh, you got to click on this, guys. Click on it there. No. Just click on that screen. Don't make me come back there. There we go. All right. Every day, I post a description of the reading, well, I'm going to show it to you, on the City Heights Assembly of God Facebook page. You can go to the videos, and you can see this. Well, good morning. Turn it up, George. It's August 12th, and I do this 6 days out of seven. We're going to look at John 14 today. We just read it. And Jesus at the end of 13 says he's leaving and he is headed to the cross. Peter spoke up and said, I'll follow you anywhere. He says, Peter, tonight you're going to deny me three times.
A little bit louder, George.
He says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you and I'm going to come back so that you can be with me. Peter spoke up, then Thomas, and then Philip. And Jesus begins to talk about his connection with the Father. That, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm in the Father is in me. And this talks about this connection. And then he talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we see this clear depiction of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. See this, the Holy Spirit be in the believers who come and live in them. And then he talks about Jesus being in the Father and the Father being in him, that the believers are in the Son and the Son is in the believers. And in all, obedience is key. Obedience is the key to the love of the Lord. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Jesus is obedient to the plan of the Lord, even all the way to the cross. He says, the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the Father does. And I'm going to be obedient to the plan. I'm going to be obedient to the Father. I'm going to display my love for the Father. I'm obedient to him and go to the cross. Word, it'll fill you up. Bless you.
How full are you?
Every day, you can get filled up. I'll give you one of these. I keep mine inside my Bible. If you got a phone, on 90% of your phones, I can load you an app that will put this on your phone. It will give you it in, I don't know, 100 different versions. Any language, it will even read it to you. All right? You're going to have questions. You can go up to the City Heights Assembly of God, and you can look at a this is a little short today, about 5 to 8 minute video where I will talk about some of the choice morsels and or some of the challenging parts. On Wednesday nights, we go over the week's New Testament readings. There is no reason for you to be empty because the Word of God will fill you up. But if you're going to get full, if you're going to get more full than you currently are, you got to make a change. Something's got to change. And the question is, how close do you want to get to the Lord? At least you can come up. So I'm hoping some of you want to grow closer to the Lord, and I'm hoping that you can use this tool. The other tool, we'll be talking about this another time, is Tommy's prayer page, the Chag prayer page, and the prayer that goes out every day. Get in the Word, get in prayer. It'll fill you up. Amen? Amen. Maybe you come in here this morning, and you are in darkness. You know, I put that scripture from John, said this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead, and their deeds were evil, and you are far from the Lord. And this morning you come in on empty to say, Lord, I don't want to be empty anymore. Lord, I want to be transformed in my understanding. I want to know you. I want to give my life to you. I want to establish that relationship with you. I want the Holy Spirit to come in me, come into me and transform me, a sinner, into something new. You're here this morning. You want to give your life to the Lord. Bow your heads with me. Nobody looking around. Right now this morning, you're saying, I want to come out of the darkness. I want to come into the light. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I just want you to slide your hand up this morning and say, that's me. I want to know him. Right here, somebody else would say, that's me. Back here, right here in front, that's me. Somebody else would say, that's me this morning. Saw your hands. You can put it down right here. I see you. Hallelujah. Anybody else say, that is me this morning. I want to get on the narrow path. Didn't put your hand up before. The Lord is speaking to your heart this morning. I just want you to just raise your hand up. Say, that's me this morning. Anybody else? Back here. Hallelujah. Really? Really? Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Worship team's going to come. You want to be different. You got to change. Devil's going to say, oh, you're fine. You're fine. You're close enough to the Bible, to the Lord. The Bible is just a bunch of stories. It's not the path. It's not the truth. It's not anything. That's a lie you've been buying. You want to change. You want to be transformed. You want to do something new.